our lifestyles and we picked up in our upbringing in church that keeps us separated from being the Word made flesh. All right? And if we can acknowledge that and then admit to that, then we can make some progress. There are some things that we picked up that made us believe that the power was elsewhere. You get it? It made us believe, and if you admit it, for a while I said, well, you know, God come in and do something. He said, you do it. He said, you say to the mountain, be thou removed. Because not me. I'm not coming to move it. I don't be saying you move mountains. No, you move mountains. I don't be saying them lines because it defers my power. All right, so now we have to, come on. You have to, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How long? All right, and the Psalms have said that too. In the law does he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? Who bear fruit and seed, the leaf shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. In order to get to that place, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. There has to be a refounding of your structure. All right, there's some things that slip into our foundation, and you can remember, I don't know, anybody was another denomination or anything before they were, or whatever this is, non-denomination, I guess what we call it. You know what I'm saying? We pick up different things in our upbringing. Right? And most of them defer to power. Most of them defer everything else, and they never connected as one. You get it? So you don't know you got the power. So Jesus got to come and heal them again. But why would he tell you you're going to do the works? Why would he say something like that? Can we come to reckoning real quick? Why would I tell you that? Why would I tell you that? Why? Jesus. Y'all believe in Jesus, right? Do Jesus lie? No. Come on. Hold on. No. Tell me the truth now. Because sometimes you be feeling like he lied to you. Do Jesus lie? So when he said he mean it, right? He ain't playing no games with you, right? He ain't telling you, you know, he ain't putting no tricks on you. Why would he tell you that? Why would he say the works that do you do also? Why would he say that? Because he mean it. So if he's telling me that I got to do the works, then he's really saying the works that do you do also in greater ways because I'm going to the Father. I'm out. You can do the works. Then right there in that particular time, he's telling you you have the power. Actually, you are the power. Come on, say, I am the power. Say it again, say, I am the power. See, we got to go from just having something to being something. It always starts with a being. Are you understanding me? It always starts with an identity. This whole scripture, it's all about bringing you to your identity. Are you understanding me? It's a guideline, but it's not the lifeline. I heard it on the way here to class. See, it's a guideline, but if you try to take the guideline, like the lifeline, you're going to die. Because it's not built out of that material to keep you from falling. Use your ropes. It's not that type of material that's built to sustain you. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And so, even the scripture, I'm going to read in a second, talking about the letter itself killing. Spirit give his life. Right? Yeah. You are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
You see what I'm saying? Say, I am a spirit. Stop trying to be spiritual because you can't be nothing else.
Right.
Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So now it becomes a guideline, but it can't be the lifeline only. John 5:39, you read it, and we read it over and over again. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, right? And great, I'm glad you're over there searching. And there they will testify of me. And he makes a point. You are not coming all the way to me. You stopped at the scripture, didn't come all the way to me. Jesus saying, I go beyond what's written.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But there's a pathway. You get it? But I go beyond what's written. Maturity says, I don't stay with the written, and I go to the living. So they call him the living word. Do y'all understand what's going on? You too. You too. Y'all realize every time Jesus is living by the book, we're going to read the stories, right? Told my last class, I'm going to tell y'all the same thing. I'm glad that y'all studying all that other stuff and all them other scriptures, but the most important thing you're going to study is the Gospels and Jesus. Because if you do not have a firm revelation of Jesus, the Christ, and really the Christ in you, if you do not have a firm revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, then all your reading is in vain. All your tongues, all your praying, all your praise, all that is in vain. Because you don't know who you are. What's the point of having a bank account full of money if you don't know the PIN number? Or the account number. Or what bank is that for that nature? What's the point? You get it? It's all on the inside. It says it's all on the inside of me. Come on, say it again. It's all on the inside of me. Come on, say it again. It's all on the inside of me. You're not going to find something else that's somewhere else or something else. No, you're realizing who you are already. Y'all get what I'm saying? This is what this is doing. It's making you realize who you are already. I think we read John 5:39. Let me see something. The book of what's the last book of the Old Testament? The last book of the Old Testament. Like I said, the first book of the New Testament is what? Matthew. So you know you're flipping your Bible over. So I'm saying New Testament, right? And so the New Testament is what? What's the New Testament? What's defined the New Testament in your mind? I know I'm going somewhere. What's the New Testament? Like what books are the New Testament? The Gospels, and then that's it, and then the end. Come on, what's the New Testament? In your Bible, you flip over and say New Testament, and then it goes all the way from Matthew to where? And all that is the New Testament, ain't it? Cool. And that's what you believe, right? I sat in church a couple of Sundays ago. I don't know why. Oh, I do know why. I guess timing. I don't know. Don't know why. But it tends to jump out and tells you the truth when you're on a certain search. Let me pull it up. Is it on? Okay. All right. You good now? It jumps out. Matthew, where are you right now? You in John chapter 1? Yeah, Matthew's chapter 26, verse 28. We're going to go through a couple things. I saw the scripture with the communion Sunday, and I saw the scripture and it jumped out. We're going to read, there's two other accounts of the same thing, but verse 26, and it says, and they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and break it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now he's given a representation. We know he's sitting there, so we know that wasn't his body. Right? Come on, y'all. Come on, I'm sitting in the room with you. Use your imagination. I'm sitting in the room with you. I said, here, this is my body. Now you know this ain't my body. Because you see clearly that it's bread, so you know that I'm trying to tell you something, I'm trying to show you something. All right, are we there? All right, so, okay. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. How much of it? It's a point that he's telling you to drink all of it. For this is my blood of the, which is shed for the many for the remissions of sins. Mark 14:24. I start off verse 22, and they did eat. And Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Look the same way, right? He took the cup, and when he had given them thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. This is verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I will drink it new in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 22. I begin to say it differently, Luke 22, and there's an account of it in Corinthians, and we'll read both of them. Luke 22, verse 19. And you have to read the context, okay? You hear me? You have to go and read the context for yourself because you catch more out of it. Verse 19, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I understood what this meant when you do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't mean on your second Sunday or whenever your communion Sunday is, but every time you take bread, do it in remembrance. How much remembering of God will you remember if you take if you remember him every time you eat? How many times you ate today? I don't care if it was I had a snack. Well, you eating. If you remember him, and then I break down the word remember, which is like the member, like you remember him. Every time, how often would you remember? Often you remember me. Right, don't get all religious on me. You're taking away from my sacrament. Just chill. Verse 20, likewise all the cup, also the cup after supper saying, this cup is what? Stop right there. The cup is what? This cup is what? The New Testament. Where? I'm not asking that question for a reason. What is the cup? It's the New Testament. Remember we were talking about New Testament just now, right? Where is that? It's just shed for you. Then I go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's one we use on communion Sundays. This is Paul giving a reaccount of what's going on. Verse 24, he said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Are y'all seeing this? Now, if you only remember Jesus on the day that you take communion at church, you sad. Right? He expects more of you than that. Okay? Notice he never said, do this on the first, second Sunday, third Sunday. I do this every other. That's something that we came up with. And God bless it. But y'all understand what I'm saying. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So I gotta highlight. This is verse 26, for often you drink this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Then I gotta highlight this New Testament in my blood. Because I'm sitting in service, and the Lord told me the New Testament is in the blood, not in the book.
Yeah, that's a good statement.
The New Testament, the new version. The new story. The new covenant is in. God bless the book. I'm not taking nothing away from the book. But the New Testament is in my... So it's very, very, very clear that you could be looking at the New Testament and then think you got something going on and you don't know what's in the. Yes, I heard it clear as day said. This is the New Testament in my blood. And I said, it's in my blood too. Say it's in my blood too. Come on, say it again, it's in my blood too. Come on, say it again, it's in my blood too. He who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Right? It's in my blood too. Say it.
It's in my blood.
And as often as I do this in remembrance of him. So I started researching the cup. Said, what cup are you talking about? I hear him talking about a cup a lot. He started talking about, if you can't let this. He ain't talking about no cup. He talking about action, identity. You know, the slain lamb, and we say it all cute and stuff because we hindsight. But when Jesus heard that, he was like, yeah, I got to be the slain lamb. I'm the lamb. I'm the lamb that got to be slain. You keep yelling out what's happening, but I'm the lamb that got to be slain. Like, I got to actually be this. This ain't going to be, we're not going to read this away. We're not going to read or ritualize or quote this away. This actually got to be done and be lived by me. New Testament in my blood. This cup, the New Testament in my blood. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? This cup is the New Testament in my blood. The New Testament is in your blood. I'm going to say it again because it ain't hit yet. The New Testament is in your blood. Yeah. It ain't hit yet. I'm going to say it till it hit. The New Testament is in your blood. The book is only telling you what's in your blood. When you read the book, you're reading your DNA. Now, you can live according to what's your last name? Who cares? You can live according to that if you want to and keep carrying that blood on. You know what's in that blood. We can look back behind us at some of the former days and things of the former and be like, it don't look good for me. It don't look like we're going to, because it ain't nothing but a cycle. You're going to repeat until I take on the new. Testament where? Word made flesh, New Testament in my blood. We'll let you think about it for a second. Word made flesh, New Testament in my blood. I was trying to tell you something. Word made flesh, New Testament in my blood. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the... We've been trying to do it for years. We still, in 2018, trying to do it.
Yep.
We still trying to function under the law. You don't think so, but we do. We still trying to function under the law. We still got the... Well, step one, you pray with your left knee. And then step... You do right knee, then you do it for 32 days, and 21 days and then come happen. I don't believe it, because I done it. Y'all get what I'm saying? So it becomes ritual. And we begin to read religiously and ritually. And we miss lifestyle. Four places you should live from. Four perspectives. And if you pay attention to the scripture, it'll make you live from these places. There's four perspectives. Our perspective has been off. We've been living from wrong perspectives. We've been so busy trying to live from good and evil that we miss life.
Yeah.
You remember the trees? Mm-hmm. There were two trees in the garden. What trees were they? Come on, two trees in the garden. What trees were they? The tree of life. Okay, and there wasn't nothing else. It wasn't say the tree of life and death. They didn't say the tree of life, nothing else. It said tree of singular. Go straight ahead. It's life. Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have. Then what's the other tree? It's so complicated. It got so difficult, didn't it? Like the tree of life. Everybody say tree of life. Now what's the other tree? That tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's too much. There's too much that we got to be figuring out. We've taken on a burden upon ourselves that we didn't have to take. And we thought it was keeping us away from something. That's why the serpent, no, but really, you don't want that. You don't want to have to deal with that. If you really could look from the perspective of life and life alone, things would be much simpler. Double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? Yeah, good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Do of. Now you double-minded. You don't know what's what. I'm using the same example. Using the last clip, right? Same example. Being safe in America is good, right? Huh?
Yeah.
That America is safe. I know you're military. Being safe in America is good, right? But at the expense of somebody else dying? Good thing, bad thing? Now it's good. Now, to see what I'm not, that's the look I want. That's the look I want because I got, he did like this. And think about it. And see, he's military, so there's a whole other place in his mind. But I gotta think because, like, well, it's good because we're safe, but then it's like, but I don't want nobody to be dying. But I don't know how else we gonna do it. So that's gonna flip flop on you. Uh-huh. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
See that'll flip-flop on you. If you try to stand on any side of that seesaw, any given minute you lose your feet. There's no balance in that conversation. I'll give another one. You ready? Child before wedlock. Good or bad? Now y'all know. Y'all know what time it is. You know it's about to you know what time it's gonna be in the modern day church. Right. So now we on both sides of it. You know, it's a blessing. Life is a blessing, but we gonna treat it like put them away, hide them right now. If that was a mistake, you didn't fail and miss the glory of God and all the stuff we gonna say. Y'all know, and I'm not. Y'all know it, right? So good. So Jesus. Y'all nativity story y'all like on Christmas? That's a story about a baby being born before wedlock. Oh, your Savior. We love Jesus, don't we? That was the greatest thing God ever did for mankind, was to send Jesus on earth, right? The men be birthed through men. Well, but by our standards. Then I got to go a little further. We live by the book, all right? I do some research. Mary was probably between the age of 12 and 14. when this happened. Children's church. You don't get out of children's church until you're 12 or 13. The children's church in the youth group, you're in one of them. They say, and I'm in the history, because the Jewish custom was, and I read this a couple weeks ago, I read an article that came across, and they're still having this custom in different areas, where the girls are getting married at 15 and 16 for protection. I don't want to go into all this, but if you do some, the Bible is amazing, but if you do some research on history, of history that was going on in the times of the Bible, then some of the things that make sense to you why things were said the way that they were said. You see what I'm saying? And you understand the customs of the time. Remember we were talking about washing feet? Yeah, like you don't need to be washing nobody's feet right now because ain't nobody dusting foot today, like, right, right? Right? Like, so you understand why they doing it. Ain't doing it for no spirit. No, your feet was dusty. Right? And so at the time, the girls were to get married between the age, when the time that they were able, they had a, excuse me, the time that the menstrual cycle kicked in, they were ready to have babies. It's 12 to 14, let's get married. Men was, the boys were men at 13. Lord Jesus. I remember when I was 13. I was not ready. I'm three times that right now. I'll still be one. Y'all get me? Y'all remember when y'all was 13? Yeah, we'd have told some stuff down, boy. You 13, you 14, and she, right? Yeah, we could be fussing up in there. Where the fruit snacks at? Right? Where the fruit roll-ups at? I told you don't. It'd have been some, all right? But the customs. So the boy, the man by 13, he got to do it by 18. If he don't do it by 20, he probably not going to do it. They're not going to let you. These are the customs of the time. All right? So good or bad? 12-year-old having baby, good or bad? They said it changed it. They didn't, this is why they made the Bible make everybody look like they was old. Like older with the pictures. Because they couldn't stand, in the West, they couldn't stand showing the kids in children's church that they were the same age as her, she had a baby. And I get it. But you understand. Good or bad, come on. Man. But anytime you stand on, all right, God is a good God, huh? Yep. Same God that opened up the ground and swallowed up Achan and his whole family. Yep. And everybody knew, killed them all. God is a good God, yes. You ain't gonna call him bad, right? So he ain't got nowhere else to go but life. Right. And there's a way that life is, and there's a standard that's life that you just have to submit to. So you can't choose your side. When you start doing good and bad, you start trying to choose your side. No, you have to submit to the law of life. See, God don't think like you, the good and bad. No, he, life. That's why he's able. He gave them life. Don't take this stuff from these people. When you finish, burn everything, kill everything. Achan does not live by the law of life. So then he loses his existence. Good or bad? Well, good kid. Well, see what happened to children. So now, so in this particular room, right? Because I didn't listen. None of us can make progress. Right. I see a symbolism of Jesus here for a minute. I'm going to do some studying. But because I didn't listen, then I would hold the progress of everybody. If I partook of what I was told not to take. You know, the children of Israel walking around going in circles. And Moses said, something gotta be wrong. What's hindering us? And they pointed out, there's Achan in the camp. Good or bad? That's a good thing the children of Israel, you know, it'd have been a good thing. He said, we get progress now. You'd have been sad Achan gone, but like, well, man, you know, he told us. Good or bad? See, but now you live, if you're living from that perspective, you won't know how to function. Four places to live from: life, you ready? Life, love, truth, and grace. Life is where your perspective should come from. Life, love, truth, and grace. Sam? I know you're right. Life. Life, everybody say life. love, truth, and grace. Say it again, life, love, truth, and grace. Say it again, life, love, truth, and grace. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I come that you might have life. Not good life. He didn't say bad life. He said, I come that you have. And life more abundantly. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It is very absolute. But if we try to live on the other sides of things, and you know, because the beautiful thing about those four things that I gave you, you ready? What are they? They have no opposite. Well, life got an opposite. Death. No, death is not the opposite of life. Death is the opposite. He took the sting away from death. Didn't you remember that? Remember that in scripture? Come on. Right? Death is the opposite of existence here on this plane called earth. But you know, life goes on. Has no opposite. Love has no opposite. Hate. Hate. Hate is out. Hate. You know what hate means? The Greek hate. You know what hate means? Love less. So hate is defined by love. It doesn't mean you don't love him as much as you love less. You hate your mother? That's kind of hard. He that hated his mother and his father was like, you know, by our definition, we don't know what we'd be doing. But it says you don't love him as much as you love the Lord your God. He's the top. They ain't got no opposite. Come on, truth. The lie is, no, the lie is not the opposite of the truth. The lie is the version of the truth. It got to get you to look somewhere else, or it's a counterfeit of the same thing. Ain't no opposite. Grace has no opposite. Think about it for a second. What's going to be the opposite of grace? So now my perspective, everybody say perspective.
Perspective.
Have to be from those four places. And I got to check these boxes. All four of these boxes. With the way that I see things. Even when I'm reading my scripture, I got to check these boxes. Are y'all understanding me? I have to check all of these boxes so that my perspective can be proper concerning who I am. See, Jesus lived from those places. Think about it for a minute. How could Jesus deal with people that were quote unquote despicable? Unless he's living from life, love, truth, and grace. See, the truth is God is inside of them too. You can't pick what happens to that. That's the truth, ain't it? Truth is, there's grace enough for them too. Truth is, God loves them too. Truth is, the life of God is on the inside of them. Where else can life come from? Tell me. Anybody else? Anybody else creating life around here? Anybody else creating another life? Another form of life form? They're so busy trying to do it right now with cloning people and cloning stuff. Can anybody else do it? No. So life comes from one place. But now we've been distorted in our souls, in our minds, and now we think wrong, which is why this guideline brings us back to Jesus. You get it?
Yes, sir.
I'll read another one. Look, I got to get back to this. You can write down 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, such church we have through Christ God, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Do y'all see that? We don't minister from the letter. We minister from what's the Spirit? Is your life source. You have to minister from life. You have to give from life. Too many times we're giving scriptures. Well, girl, just read the scriptures. You're going to be... No, where's the life? Come on, say it. Where's the life? You need to say that when you're talking. Ask yourself, where's the life? When I'm having a conversation, where's the life? Right? Where's the truth? Where's the grace? Where's the love? Where is this? So this now is bringing us to that. Y'all get what I'm saying? Your perspective changes a little bit on how you're looking at it now. Because it's taking you to a certain perspective. Y'all get it? I am. Everybody say I am. Come on, say it again. Say I am. Come on, say it again. I am.
I am.
See, you gotta be mindful of what you attach to your I am. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You are the living word. This can't live without you living. The devil knows the scriptures. Ha! Yes! He know them. He know the scriptures. Quote them better than you. Can't live them. Can't be them. It's not his nature, his identity. You understand what I'm saying? Not truth, but your faith comes by what? And? Just keep going, right? So whatever you're hearing and hearing, you got faith for. No, answer me. Yeah. Answer me on that one. Yeah. Whatever you're hearing and hearing, you got. All right. No change, no progress, nothing's going to happen until you get a firm grip of the Christ nature on the inside of you. And until then, there should be no conversation about anything else. We shouldn't be studying anything else. Shouldn't be taking in anything else. Everything that's not lined up with. Come with the four, come on. Anything that's coming to you and talking to you from a perspective that's not. It's taking you somewhere else. See, here's Jesus. Jesus laid down the law and said, live. This is what you're supposed to live like. This is what you're supposed to live by. This is what you look like. When Jesus came on the earth and walked on the earth, he was showing you what you look like in the flesh. I'm not talking about your features. Come on, y'all. He's showing what word and flesh, how word and flesh walks. How word and flesh talks. And how word and flesh relates to people. Who's word and flesh too, but don't know it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is a change of witness. Right? You keep telling people how bad they are. Because now you're looking from a perspective of. Are y'all understanding me? How bad was you? Everybody look at the floor. See, perspective change. So when I read this gospel and start reading Jesus, I start seeing nothing but life, love, truth, and grace. Life, love, truth, and grace. The woman at the well, life, love, truth, and grace. Right? The woman's about to get stoned, life, love, truth, and grace. The man at the pool of Bethesda, life, love, truth, and grace. We can go story after story. The man that was blind, the other man that was blind, the boy that was the tormentor of the devil, the woman with the issue of blood, Zacchaeus. Life, love, truth, grace. Just living by the book. The book is him. He's the book. The New Testament where? Now y'all gonna that one gonna hit you later. It still didn't stick, and I understand how that works. That one gonna when you gonna read it again, it's gonna hit you later. You're gonna start feeling it in your blood. No, I'm serious. You're going to begin to when you realize it, hadn't been real to you yet. Because it's a new concept. But when you realize it, you will start feeling it. Your confidence is going to change. Mm-hmm. And when something come up, you have no choice but be Jesus. Mm-hmm. Be Christ. Mm-hmm. You get it? You have no choice but function like Jesus. There'll be no other way to function. There'll be no other conversation to have. Right? There'll be no more worry. Tell me when Jesus got frazzled. I'll wait. I saw him emotional 2-3 times in the scripture. He got emotional when he went over there flipping the tables. He was mad at them, right? And it was because they were doing people wrong. They was messing up the life and the love and the truth and the grace. So he's a protector of these things. You see him, he cried on Lazarus, right? Life, love, truth, grace, right? And the last time he was a little nervous. Lord, you can't let this cup pass from me. Nope, that's not my will, but thy will be done. He understood who he was. Are y'all understanding me? So Lord, I hope I got this across. I'm gonna say I need you, but We need, the world needs you and others. That's a message I preached 2 years ago. I don't know if I named it this, but we used to play a game called Freeze Tag. Y'all might have played It, whatever the game is, but it's Freeze Tag. And the way Freeze Tag worked was everybody start running, whoever's It go running. When you touch somebody, they got to freeze. They got to. And the way we used to play was, you know, you ain't get free of it till somebody came and ran under your legs. You know what I'm saying? Because you had to stand like that. When they ran under your legs, then you were free. So now you're running again. Right? But somebody had to set you free. Somebody had to come along and set you free. Somebody had to come along and unfreeze you in order for you to run freely. And we're living in a world full of frozen conscious. They're numb. You ever held some ice a long time? I used to put, I remember spraining my ankle last year, and I had to put my ankle on some ice. It's tormenting after a while because I can't feel nothing. You get a tingling, then it just ain't nothing. And like, is it still there? You know what I'm saying? Like, and it gets numb. We're living in a society of numbness. We're numb to killing. We're numb to murder. Oh yeah, we numb to it. We desensitized. It happens so much, we just desensitized to it. Right? And it's a frozen, numb society. And we need to be alive. I don't need your scriptures anymore. I don't need you quoting your things anymore. I need you to be able to walk in the room and say, "What thus said the Lord," from your heart, the testament in your blood. And begin to speak to whatever it is. I need you to be able to walk in the room and tell them, "Get up." I need you to be able to speak to the situation and tell it clear up, and it's got to. That's how Jesus did. Jesus didn't sleep in the Bible boat to come wake him up. And he ain't going there and say, "Oh, let me get my Bible." First, said that I can, and then start reading it like it's a spell. Hey, there's something to that. Because there's something to that. You start reading these scriptures like it's a spell. I'm trying to cast something out. Ain't no spell. Living word. You the living word. You the live word. New Testament in your blood. Where's New Testament? Well, now see, when New Testament in your blood, it can't be taken away from you.
That's right.
You realize New Testament, you're talking about in your blood, you're talking about in your DNA?
Yeah.
You realize your makeup is the New Testament?
Yeah.
Do y'all understand what you're saying? That can't be taken away from you. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, remember when he said that? He said, one thing is needful, right? And it can't be taken away from her? Yeah, it's identity. He was telling her what the New Testament was.
Yeah.
And they can't take it. I get it further. Jesus proved they couldn't take it because he bled out. Still alive. Can't take it. Y'all get it? I proved to you, I'm gone, we leave early. Listen, I proved to you that I can prove to you by a parable that Jesus preached that the word could be taken from you. Yeah, he told you. He said, then the enemy come in, the thorns come in, deceiving the rich and lust for other things, cares of the world, come in and choke the word. So we know the word can get choked. The word as you thinking it is. We know the enemy come in immediately after. Have you ever got a good word in church and you got an argument in the car? Or somebody texts you something crazy, or that's a thief. Right? So we know, but that concept of what the word is. In my blood, you can fuss all day long. Right after we done. New Testament, don't use that. Don't be like, I don't care what you say, the New Testament is in my blood. No. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Can't be taken away from you. You're welcome for getting out early. So do me and yourself a favor and give yourself some time to study nothing but that. I drop all your other daily devotions for a second. Okay, all your daily devotions, all your proverbs on whatever date it is, all the other stuff that you might have started a little session with your friends. I stop there for a second. and just get into them gospels for a second. And start seeing how many times Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Your faith did this to you. You, I ain't seen so great faith in you. You. Telling you. All right? Cut everything off for a minute. Watch how much your life changed in a short period of time. I ain't giving you no days. 30 days, do it 30. I ain't got no 30 days. Do it forever. Right? Everything changed. Amen.